877-0879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IR and its advertisers or affiliates.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, the first hour, it's going to be my views and your views, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, 464-8295. And this evening I'll start out just talking about some of the things that are on my heart, and well, we welcome your calls. You can talk on what I'm talking about. You can talk about what you'd like to talk about. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, recently, the Queen of England knighted Salman Rushdie, who'd written a book called The Satanic Verse, which was obviously a direct and purposeful affront to the entire Muslim world, where, of course, they were highly incensed because Salman Rushdie had written a book called Satanic Verse, which had insulted the Prophet. It was sort of suggesting, like somebody were to suggest that Jesus Christ had an illicit affair with a number of women, and of course, I think most Christians would be offended by that. What Salman Rushdie said, I believe it's very true. It's accurate according to the Muslim faith and the Quran, but it's simply, I could see why the Muslims would be upset by this, insulting the Prophet, and then. But to knight the man who had written this when there's actually a fatwa out for him to be killed, why would the English government do that unless they were trying to inflame the Muslims of the world? And it is my contention, and has been for a long time, that our government and the British government, because we always worked in concert, are doing everything we can to inflame the Muslim world in preparation for World War III, a coming world war with the Muslim world, and in the same way they're doing everything they can to inflame the sensitivities and the hatred of the American people. We've come up with new words like Islamofascist. Where did the word come from? Probably from some CIA think tank, and we'll just keep repeating it over and over again, equating the Islamic faith with fascism, and of course, who could be in favor of fascism? Everything that it represents as far as the degradation of the human being. And then we, of course, have all the books out, all sorts of books going into how terrible the Muslim faith was, you know, and certainly all the terrible violence that it committed, and certainly how it invaded Spain, and how it invaded the southern part of Europe, and I mean, certainly, but we could be having a lot of books written about the terrible things that the Christians did. What about the Inquisition? Certainly, what about certainly the Catholic Church going after the Huguenots and torturing to death and burning people at the stake because, of course, they disagreed with the positions of the Catholic Church, and even the Calvinists burned people at the stake in Geneva because they wouldn't go along with the Calvinist faith. But do we benefit anything at all by talking about all the bad things about the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or the Muslim faith? Why are we doing it just at this period of time? Why were we doing it 10 years ago if the Muslims were such a terrible threat to the West, and they were not a threat to the West? I mean, the Muslims have been thoroughly defeated after the First World War, and certainly were totally subject to the West. Many of them were resentful, but most Muslims want to live their life. You can always get a small group that certainly would like to do something violent, but very, very few. The radical Islamic faith existed only in two places. One was in Egypt in something called the Muslim Brotherhood, which had very little following. We might be talking a few thousand. And then within the Wahhabi faith, which is financed by the Saudis, which are financed by your government, that keeps the Saudi government in power. And other than that, this radical form of Islam really didn't exist until it began to be financed by the Central Intelligence Agency and certainly by MI5 and by MI6, British intelligence. Why? Because they wanted, of course, to have this radical form of Islam within the Islamic world so that they could play one Islamic group against another. And you would have certainly this more or less internationalist group fighting the nationalism in various Islamic countries. And certainly it really came to the fore in 1980 when the Zbigniew Brzezinski precipitated the Afghan war, and he did this by financing groups of Muslims who were opposing the puppet government of the Soviets in Afghanistan. And then, of course, as a result of that, why the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, and that gave us an excuse to go ahead and begin recruiting Muslim warriors from throughout the world, and we did. And the CIA, in conjunction with Pakistan, and that's Pakistani intelligence, the ISI, which is really sort of an extension of the CIA, and Saudi Arabia, brought Islamic warriors from other countries to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan. But they not only trained them in warfare and in terrorist tactics, they also trained the Islamic warriors that they'd brought in this radical form of Islam. They began giving them copies of the Quran. They began telling them how wonderful this ancient form of Islamic warfare was, and how they should be responsible for killing the infidels and returning to this ancient form of Islamic faith, which had lain dormant for hundreds and literally hundreds of years. Now, why would they have done that? Well, they justify it, saying, well, of course, it was far better. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I was simply pointing out that the radical form of Islam existed only within the Muslim Brotherhood and within the Wahhabi religion prior to the 1980s, when the CIA and the Pakistani intelligence, the ISI, which is an extension of the CIA, and, of course, the Wahhabis, the Saudi Arabians, began to recruit Muslims throughout the world to come to Afghanistan to fight the Soviets, who had invaded Afghanistan because of American policy of financing the opposition that was going to topple the Soviet puppet government there. Now, it was one thing, of course, to have actually brought in the warriors and trained them in terrorist tactics and in warfare. But they also handed out copies of the Quran. They also began to indoctrinate them in the radical form of Islam. They also put out $51 million for school textbooks. USAID, this, United States Agency for International Development, put out $51 million for Islamic textbooks and to actually encourage the resurgence of this radical form of Islam. And, of course, they taught the children all about how wonderful Islam was, how wonderful it was to kill the infidels, how wonderful it was to return to the Muslim religion of old. Why would you do something like that? And the excuse was, well, my goodness, they wouldn't have used the textbooks if we hadn't had all that radical rhetoric in there. Well, believe me, the Muslims weren't printing up the textbooks. We printed them up, and we put out $51 million to do that, to begin to finance the resurgence of radical Islam. And if you doubt what I'm saying, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of an article that appeared in the Washington Post called the ABCs of Jihad, that goes into the background of exactly what I'm telling you. Or if you have the Internet, you can go ahead and type in $51 million USAID radical Islam, and you should be able to come up with exactly what I'm telling you. So the United States Central Intelligence Agency financed the resurgence of radical Islam, along with the ISI, Pakistani Intelligence, which of course works very closely with the CIA, and then our good friends the Saudis. And then, of course, then the war ended in 1989, and we're told, oh, well, the CIA just pulled out of there. That isn't true at all. When, of course, the Taliban were formed, the Taliban were simply students, primarily from Pakistan, but some of them from Afghanistan, who wanted to create a radical Islamic state. And, of course, they were financed by our own government. And they never want to talk to you about that. And then, of course, you remember, along comes Osama bin Laden, and eventually, by 1995 or 1996, he's living in Afghanistan. And we're funding the Taliban, who are giving sanctuary to Osama bin Laden, who is leading the Al-Qaeda movement that is attacking America. And Osama bin Laden supposedly declares war on America on two different occasions and says we're going to destroy the West. And he's getting sanctuary in Afghanistan from the Taliban, and we continue funding the Taliban. And if you doubt that, let me suggest you go to the White House website and pull down President Bush's speech. It was on the 20th of September 2001. And in that speech, President Bush tells the American listeners, though this is, 9 days after the 9/11 attack, that America is the largest source of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan. Well, Afghanistan is the Taliban. So why are we funding the Taliban that are giving sanctuary to the wicked Osama bin Laden? And I would like to suggest that nothing is as it appears to be. Well, remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, of course, everybody knows that on September 11th, 2001, a terrible thing happened in New York City, and, of course, almost 3,000 Americans died. But there was something very strange about what happened, because the government knew the attack was coming, and if you were to read my September 2006 newsletter, why, of course, they have Condoleezza Rice's testimony before the 911 Commission, and she has asked, well, since you knew something big was going to happen, why didn't you mobilize? Why didn't the Bush administration mobilize and try to stop the Islamic attack? And Condoleezza Rice said, because the American people were not prepared, to take dramatic action against Al-Qaeda. There had to be some major cataclysmic thing, and I'm paraphrasing what she said, but in essence she said if there wasn't a major event, the American people wouldn't have been willing to give up their freedom and accept increased government surveillance over their lives. There had to be a major event take place before the American people would be willing to, change their whole outlook on the world. And then, of course, we find that in Donald Rumsfeld's testimony, and this is really all the information I'm giving you, is comes from a book called Without Precedent. It's written by Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton, the chairman and co-chairman of the 9-1-1 Commission. Incidentally, Thomas Keene came from the Council on Foreign Relations. Lee Hamilton came from the Council on Foreign Relations, was a longtime member of the Trilateral Commission, although he might not have been a member exactly of what he was on the 9-1-1 Commission, but he'd been a member of the Trilateral Commission, which is the ruling body in America, America's unelected rulers. But suddenly, they tell about Donald Rumsfeld being asked the same question: why didn't you do anything to try to ward off the September 11th attack? And he said, well, we were working on a plan. In fact, President Bush had a plan. It was completed on the 10th of September, the day before the 9-1-1 attack, the 9-11 attack. Isn't that a coincidence? They completed the plan to attack Al-Qaeda just the day before the September 11th attack. Is that just a coincidence? Well, of course, you know, it takes a while to get a military program going, and yet it was within 3 weeks after the September 11th attack that we had our forces on the ground in Afghanistan. In other words, they were already stationed there waiting to go in. And then we go in and we go into Afghanistan. Why do we go in? Why? Because we're going to catch the wicked Osama bin Laden. And, of course, we're going to get the Al-Qaeda leaders, and we're going to stop the world terrorism. And we don't allow our troops to catch Osama bin Laden. We send in a lot of Muslim troops, many of whom support Osama bin Laden, and he mysteriously escapes into Pakistan. So why don't we follow him and Al-Qaeda in there and end this whole war with radical Islam? Oh, we couldn't go into Pakistan. My goodness, we're giving them all this money, but we couldn't go into their country, violate, you know, their national boundaries, or we couldn't send anybody in to get Osama bin Laden. Well, my goodness, we're sending people into Iran today to try to destabilize that country. Why couldn't we send somebody in? Certainly, if you study the history of the CIA, you find out that they've been executing national leaders for many years. If you've read John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, or his new book, The Secret History of America's Empire, the CIA repeatedly has killed world leaders. So why couldn't we have followed, Osama bin Laden into Pakistan and tracked him down and simply either captured him and brought him out? The president promised we'd capture Osama bin Laden dead or alive, and we never tried to capture Osama bin Laden dead or alive. In fact, the most fascinating part of the whole story, and something you can document from your home, if you have access to a computer, you simply go to that computer and you type in FBI 10 Most Wanted, and you'll come to their page, and there you'll find the page of the 10 Most Wanted Men by the FBI, and there's a picture of Osama bin Laden. And you pull it up and you read it. And why is Osama bin Laden wanted? Why? Because he was complicit in the terrorist attack on the American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998, but not one word about the World Trade Center bombing. Well, I thought that's why we went to war, was because Osama bin Laden was responsible for what happened on September 11th, 2001. Is it possible the FBI made a mistake? Is it possible they don't know that Osama bin Laden was behind the September 11th attack? Or is it possible we've been lied to, as we were lied to about the Gulf of Tonkin incident back in 1964, 1965, that got us involved in the war in Vietnam, where we lost some 58,000 American boys and probably two or three times that number were injured, permanent casualties. Many of them are still suffering the effects of their Agent Orange poisoning. Is it possible that we're being lied to about what really happened on that day? Is it possible that we're being manipulated today? when Mr. Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, tells us there's going to be another major attack in America. He's just got this gut feeling. And then, of course, recently, and we've seen al-Zawahiri, the number two man of al-Qaeda, announced there's going to be more terrorist attacks in Great Britain. But why don't we hear from Osama bin Laden? When was the last time you saw a new picture of Osama bin Laden? And, of course, is he camera shy? Is it possible he's been dead for many years and they don't want to tell the American people because we have to have an enemy? After all, if you don't have an enemy, how are you going to rally the people behind the government to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden? And we'll be right back. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And if you're out there and listening up.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
I keep thinking about when I first saw the Twin Towers collapse.
Right.
And my first reaction was, because I have seen controlled demolitions before, but that's what my first reaction was when these towers came down.
They sure did look like controlled demolitions, didn't they?
Yes.
And you wonder what happened to, you know, there are 1,100 bodies that have never been found. Now, certainly if the buildings that collapses were told, why, of course, they would have pancaked, the bodies would have been compressed, but they would have been there, but they just disappeared. They were vaporized. In fact, almost everything in the Twin Towers was vaporized. Most of the computers were vaporized. Certainly the telephones were vaporized. So there had to be explosives there to vaporize it and to shoot all that dust out to the side as the building was falling. And you could see the debris shooting out hundreds of feet. That's not what happens when the building pancakes.
Well, and I thought, learning from your program, a while ago, that weren't there eyewitness testimonies or people that were fleeing the building at the time, that just before they were fleeing, I believe it was building 2 or tower 2, that they did hear what they thought were explosives?
Well, basically, before the plane, or just before the plane hit the North Tower, William Rodriguez was in the basement of the North Tower, and there was an explosion in the basement there. And we have a 4-tape set where he talks about, the explosion in the basement, and the 4-tape set is called Why Did the Buildings Come Down? There's a video we carry called Press for the Truth that talks where they interview somebody who was in the South Tower, and there were explosions of the basement of the building of the South Tower, too, associated with the buildings coming down. And you have to understand there were 47 heavy vertical pillars, steel pillars. I mean, are we supposed to believe as the building pancake those pillars broke off at each level?
Right.
No, something actually had to take out the base in which they were set, and destroy the base of the building so the building would come down because it fell at the rate of gravity. And if it began to collapse, of course, there would have been resistance, but there was no resistance. So, and then if you look at Building 7 come down, and you can see that up on the Internet by simply Googling in Building 7 videos and watch it come down, it's obvious this is a controlled demolition because the roof caves in the middle initially as they destroy the supports in the middle of the building, and then the base of the building collapses. And we actually have an interview with a fellow who was there when they were cleaning it up, and he says he's 95 or 97% sure this was a controlled demolition.
Well, and I was just going to mention about Building 7, because I remember that being such an additional, traumatizing event, because, the first two towers had already collapsed. And I remember this, I think it was broadcast on Fox, and many people were shocked and dismayed and really disturbed to have this other building come down, Building 7, after going through the towers coming down, and yet, later on to come to find out that this was planned. And, how coincidental can you get? I mean, we just have two towers that are collapsed, and then this one collapses. The first two to me look like a controlled demolition, and then Building 7, they actually admitted that it was a controlled demolition, but it was the timing of it.
Right.
It happened, not very long after the Twin Towers were collapsed.
Well, you have to ask yourself, how was Osama bin Laden able to sneak in and get those explosives into Building 7?
Right.
And, of course, here's the FBI and the CIA headquarters. If it wasn't Osama bin Laden, then who was it? And, of course, if you've read my series, on what really happened, it's up on the Internet. Why, you'll find out that one of the highest-ranking people in the CIA told a reporter off the record, when the dust finally cleared, the American people would come to realize that what happened on September 11th was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. And you'll find that reference in Robert Baer's book, See No Evil, and it's in the preface. And nobody ever comments on that. It's obvious that Dick Cheney was in charge of what happened that day. We've read testimony by Norman Mineta, and the orders had been put out not to fire on the planes. There had been a stand-down order given And that's the reason, of course, that nothing was done to stop those planes from crashing into the Twin Towers and into the Pentagon. And of course, they've lied to us about what happened in Pennsylvania, too. It's obvious, of course, that the plane did not crash into the ground. They have an 8-mile debris field. That plane was shot down. But they won't tell us the truth about anything. Hey, hang on, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Mark, did you have anything else you wanted to cover?
Well, I heard on another program that I thought was interesting, and I don't know how accurate it is, but there was a man claimed that he was a janitor, and he would, you know, drive into New York City. I believe it was from New Jersey, and said that he was so accustomed when he would see the Twin Towers on his way to work, they would always be lit up. You know, they're extremely large buildings, and there's always some sort of activity going on in those buildings. And he recalled that on September 10th, when he was driving in late night into his work, that both towers were dark, and he thought he can remember thinking that that was very unusual. Now, I don't know, you know, if that could possibly be when, you know, charges were being placed in the building, you know, you know, the dramatic, you know, events that took place on September 11th in the collapse of those buildings or not. But I had never heard anyone noticing such a thing the day before.
Well, I think that one thing we can say for sure on that is that we have not been told the truth. And if they lied about anything, then, of course, we can't believe anything that was said. The 9/11 Commission interviewed 1,200 people who knew what had happened that day.
Right.
The testimony of 1,100 of them was sealed and will be sealed for 50 years so that the American people are never to know what took place. Now, if there's nothing to hide, why are they hiding it? And I think that obviously they are not being forthright with us. They're not telling us the truth. But think of the implications. Would they have lied to us again? They lied about the Gulf of Tonkin, and 58,000 American boys died in Vietnam for absolutely nothing. They fought valiantly, thinking they were fighting for our country, and they really weren't, because all during the Vietnam War, the United States government was financing the Russians, who were financing the North Vietnamese, who were financing the South Vietnamese, who are killing our boys in the rice paddies and villages of South Vietnam. And what's going on in the Middle East, simply the Vietnam all over again, and I would like to suggest it is. In fact, only this past week have we heard that after all this time, suddenly now the American government is going to be allowed to go into Pakistan to begin to track down the Taliban. Why did it take all this time? 5.5 years before we could go into Pakistan is because people begin talking about it and saying it's Vietnam all over again. Anything else you'd like to say, Mark?
Well, what I'd like to know.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess. Right now we have Mark from Richmond, Washington, and we've got another couple of calls we'll get to in just a moment. Mark, we do have some other callers, but is there anything else you'd like to say before I let you go?
So one last thing I'd like to know is a critical point, is where is the declaration of war?
Well, there is no declaration of war. In fact, Congressman Ron Paul, in Congress, as you know, Ron Paul is a member of Congress, and he actually got up in a committee and said we should have a declaration of war. And so I advocate a move. We have a declaration of war. And Congressman Henry Hyde said, well, that's outmoded. The Constitution's outmoded. All of that's outmoded. We don't use the Constitution anymore. And so we're not going to allow you even to bring this forward. And so right after the hearings, Congressman Ron Paul said he went, of course, to get the information because they were recording the hearings on C-SPAN, and that segment just had disappeared. They have, of course, a congressional recording of that as well, and that had disappeared. So Congressman Hyde had said, you know, the Constitution is outmoded, and then they deleted that from the congressional record and from all the files and records of that hearing. You're absolutely right. Everything that's going on is illegitimate. If we're going to war, why we should have a declaration of war. And my fear is the next step is going to be war with Iran. The American people don't want it. The Iranian people don't want it. But the people who really run things want to expand the war over there, and heaven help us when that happens. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Mark.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless.
And let's go to Don, who's calling from Richmond, Washington. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, I'm hot. Maybe it's the weather up here.
Okay, well, how hot is it up there?
It's about 105.
Well, I won't tell you how hot it is down here in Santa Cruz. You go right ahead.
Okay, well, I really have kind of a question for you, but it's not just for you. It's for everybody, but especially those that have similar type voices. I'd like to know what it is they don't understand about the message that's come through your voice over Radio Liberty at... And how can they justify themselves to continue to support the politicians that's proven by the public record that, well, I don't think they're friends of America, you know, not the real America.
Well, of course, the thing is that I love this country. I do what I do because I want to try to save it for my children, my grandchildren. But the thing is that we have some wicked people who've taken control of our government. And they work through the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Skull and Bone Society and the Masons and the Theosophists. And of course, you read my Brotherhood of Doctors, you know, all these various groups, but the major ones right now, number one would probably be the Trilateral Commission, but it's not at the top because behind that are powerful spiritual forces that are driving America, unfortunately, towards destruction. So our job is to try to get people to think and to care, and then to begin to recognize the spiritual component of what's going on, and hopefully to begin to return to the faith of their fathers.
Oh, I think you do that to those who listen to into your program. I have no doubt about that.
All we can do is do our best, Don, and I figure that this is God's battle.
I just don't know why... those who confess to be believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, conservatives, patriots, or constitutions, can continue their support for either Republican or Democrat. There's so few in there that hasn't compromised themselves, and so.
I believe that there's a spiritual blindness out there. I honestly believe that we're dealing with supernatural forces.
And
a lot of good people. I know a lot of good people who are solidly behind the president, who really want to go in there and bomb Iran, and they think that's going to solve all of our problems. And they've never stopped and thought of the implications. How many hundred thousand people are we going to kill? And what happens if they were retaliating to take out a couple of our carriers? And what would that do to America?
Iraq never attacked us.
I know.
You know, I mean, neither did North Korea, neither did Vietnam.
Right.
You know, we'll understand the documentation and the people that's come on with programs and so forth. And I just,
you have to understand there is this globalist dream, this belief that we have to have a world government and bring about world peace, and there are people who are totally dedicated to that idea, and many of them do not even know where these ideas come from, but they come from the occult. And you get beyond the obvious, you begin to realize that Satan has always wanted to rival God. He's wanted to rule the world.
I worked for an international union for 10 years of my life.
Right.
I worked my way up. I went behind the curtain. There sat the old devil.
Well, I think you're absolutely right.
People get caught up and they don't even know they're being used. They don't know they're being deceived. You know, and I understand that. And I understand about them spells and so forth. And I come to know in April 1981 the whole damn thing was corrupt.
Right.
So.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
Yeah, I would like to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Everybody out there that loves this country, you can, you know, if you don't come together and form a new political body based on the Word of God, you're just wasting your time.
All right.
And there's only one Republican running for president that I'll even consider voting for, and that's Ron Paul. But he falls a little short, and you know, sometimes he don't speak too clearly either. You know.
Well, I think the major thing is the people. We got to get the people to turn back to God, because we're not going to solve it politically. Certainly politics down the line. But the first thing is, we got to begin to change America. One person at a time.
His holy wrath falls on this country even more than it has.
Amen. Well, I really fear we're going to see God's judgment, and I don't think it's that far off, Don.
Well, it's already happened.
Amen.
Hey, thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you so very much. Okay, bye-bye. That was Don bye-bye. Calling from Richmond, and right now let's go to Ray here in Santa Cruz, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And hi, Ray, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I just had a few comments here. One of the first one was my comment was going to be that it seems that a lot of senators or Republican senators are starting to question the president about the war and about the withdrawal timetable.
Right.
And it seems like they're defecting. As to how much they'll defect, anybody can guess, but it seemed like there's some kind of movement going on. It would seem to me that the way things are going now, McCain is his campaign is in tatters. There's some things going on that I think could ultimately change things a little bit. I think as far as the war in Iraq, I think if it keeps going, the momentum keeps going, maybe more and more the senators will turn on this president that we have. I'm hoping they will.
Well, what happens if we had a major terrorist attack?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing.
And, of course, the thing is that Mr. Chertoff has already come forward and said he's got a strange feeling in his intestine.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have a major attack here. Somebody asked him what color coding you give to that strange feeling. But then we see Al-Zawahiri telling the people of England there's going to be lots more terrorist attacks over there. And if you've studied the history of Al-Zawahiri, you know that he's always been a CIA asset ever since he was involved with the assassination of Anwar Sadat. And knowing that he was involved with murder, he was allowed to go to Europe and travel all over Europe. We have clippings pointing out that he was allowed to come to the United States, a known murderer, allowed to come to the United States, traveling all across our country in 1995, and he was in the company, at least part of the time, with a man named Ali Mohammed. And Ali Mohammed just happened to be the man who planned the bombing of the American embassies in Tanzania and in Kenya back in 1998. And Ali Mohammed just happened to be an FBI or CIA informant. There's a wonderful book. It's called Triple Cross. That's Triple Cross. You can read it. I don't agree with all the conclusions, but I think a lot of them are true. And suddenly everything points that Al-Zawahiri just happened to be in Oklahoma City in 1995 when we had the Oklahoma City bombing. Isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah.
And that we know that, of course, there were Islamic people who were involved in that. That's why the government will not release any of the tapes that were taken that day, because anybody who tries to get the tapes that were taken on the morning when Timothy McVeigh supposedly blew up the building, and I have no doubt Timothy McVeigh was there, but when they try to get the videotapes, they're told, well, there's an ongoing investigation. Well, we know that Al-Zawahiri was in Oklahoma City that day. I mean, what a coincidence that is. And, of course, here now, Al-Zawahiri is making these threats. But there's no sign of Osama bin Laden?
No. Well, you see, I believe this. I believe the CIA and the NSA orchestrate these things, you know, and without anybody really knowing much about it before it happens,
right.
And then they have somebody to blame it on. They have a patsy.
Right.
They have a patsy to blame it on. But I think the CIA and the national security people, I think they work on this stuff for a long time. Probably a couple of years, they probably figure out a scenario.
Do you know that we have 14 intelligence agencies in the United States?
Yeah, we've got too
14
many.
Different intelligence
we've
agencies?
Got too many of them.
And we sure do. And a lot of times, one doesn't know what the other one's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's too bad. I think, if God is merciful, he'll... of course, we don't really deserve much mercy here for what we're doing over in Iraq.
I think
if he's merciful, I think he could put a stop to what this president has gone. He's a madman.
I'm very much afraid, Ray, though, that the only way that they're going to be able to pull this thing out is have an incident to justify war with Iran.
But people will be on to it. I hope that people will realize that more and more people are realizing that 9/11 was all set up. So, I mean, how much do people need to wake up?
You know? Never underestimate the gullibility of the American people.
Well, they're gullible, yeah.
And, of course, because people do not want to believe this. I didn't want to believe, you know, when I first got started, that there could be traitorous people working at the highest levels of our government, financing communism, using communism as a cover to justify what they were doing, communism being a distraction, and we send our boys over to seas to fight communism. All the time we're funding communism. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, the other thing, too, I believe that... I was talking to somebody I know, and we were discussing the Libby thing. You know, the commutation of his sentence.
Right.
He was convicted. He was convicted. I mean, how can a president do that? I mean, no other president has really done that before.
Oh.
But the distraction is the newspapers put that on the last page of the newspaper, and then he put Paris Hilton goes to jail on the first page,
But did you ever think...
You know?
Did you ever stop and think that maybe it's all simply a diversion?
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing with Libby from the very beginning was a diversion. You've got to keep idle minds busy. And we argue about Libby. Was he guilty? Was he innocent?
Yeah,
what did he know? And then, of course, he gets exonerated or gets pardoned, and then, or at least... They commute his sentence, and then we argue about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we argue about all of the wrong things, and focus our attention on the important things and ignore the really important ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing too, recently Dick Cheney came out with a comment saying that his office was not part of the executive branch.
I know.
Oh my God.
Well, we're in real trouble, Ray, and our job is just to keep talking, and I know you will, and we will too.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks very much for calling. Let's go to Gary, who's calling from Yakima. And incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And remember, so many of the things you read in the newspaper are simply to distract you. And like the sleight of hand artist, when he makes a great issue of showing you one of his hands, but you never want to watch that hand, you want to watch the other one, and that's what they're doing. Hi, Gary, how are you doing? How are things up in Yakima?
Oh, very good, Dr. Stan. Appreciate your program. And I got a couple comments, one about the secret mysteries of America's beginnings, and another one about the program you had about man who talked about going into the president of the Ford Corporation. I have a question about that.
All right, fine. Well, first of the Secret Mysteries is a DVD put out by our good friend Chris Pinto, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. So what were your thoughts on that?
Oh, Dr. Stan, I am blown away with all the information on those two DVDs, one and two. Tremendous, tremendous DVDs. I just recommend everybody getting a copy of them. It's just amazing how he could put so many facts and all the groundwork it took to do all the studies to put those DVDs together, just to me, is just mind-boggling. It's just a master art of writing, and I mean of production there. Just tremendous.
And of course, that would be The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and Riddles in Stone.
Yes.
I certainly agree with you. A very important two DVDs, which along with my talk on the Forbidden Secret, will give you tremendous insight into what's going on. So I appreciate what you're saying, and I just hope that people will get hold of them. It will help you to understand that there have been two forces in America since its beginning, one the Christian and the other the occult. Anything else, Gary?
Well, yeah, I wanted to continue a little bit. What's the difference between the executive producer and it's written and directed by Chris Pinna? What does the executive producer finance it?
Well, the producer finances it, and actually that was financed in large part by David Bay. And, of course, David Bay put up a lot of the information on it. David Bay has something called Cutting Edge, and you can get that on the Internet. Does an excellent, excellent job, and a lot of great information, and you get it. I think every week he puts out a 20 or 30 page missile.
What is it? It's a web. He has a website.
Yes, Cutting Edge. It's called Cutting Edge, and you can get that on the Internet.
Cutting Edge. Okay.
And he actually put the $100,000 up for the first film, and I hope he's got his money back. It certainly deserves our support.
Well, I agree. Is there any way to be able to get any type of communication with Chris Pinto?
You can call me off the air. Hold on for just a moment. You can call me off the air, and we could give Chris your telephone number. I can't give his number out, of course.
Right. So I give you mine, and then you pass it on. He can call me, maybe?
Right.
Okay, then I can do that off the air?
Right.
Okay, but first, before you take me off the air, I want to ask you about the... you told us... you had a man on the program the other day talk about going into the president of the Ford Corporation, and he asked him what is... You know, you want to... you're asking questions about all these big corporations and what they had to do with the communist movement, right?
No, basically that was Norman Dodd, who was the director of research for the Reese Committee. And you can actually hear my interview with Norman Dodd where he tells the story. It's in our four-tape set of the secret government. But Norman Dodd actually went up to visited Rowan Gaither, who was the president of the Ford Foundation. And they were investigating, the Congress was investigating the Ford Foundation back in 1953. And Rowan Gaither asked Mr. Dodd, would you like to know what we're really doing? And Dodd was a little surprised. And Rowan Gaither said, we are operating under a congressional directive to so alter life in America that one day United States can be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union. And Mr. Dodd said, well, would you tell that to the American people? And Rowan Gaither said, of course not. So you can actually get my interview, and we interviewed Mr. Norman Dodd, and you can get that in our four-tape set, the Secret Government, or you can get that by itself or on CD. And it's a fascinating talk. Anything else,
Gary? The Secret Government is a four...
It's a four-tape set. It's a four-tape set, or you can get the tape by itself. Just call our 800 number... 5448927 800-544-8927 and ask about the Norman Dodd tape.
Okay, now this is the question I have, Dr. Stan. Why was Norman Dodd willing to disclose this to Rowan Gaither?
Rowan Gaither disclosed it to Norman Dodd.
I don't know why. To disclose that. I mean, that's what I can't understand.
I have no idea, but these people these people believe that they're going to win, and they believe that there's nothing we can do about it.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, and I'll get that secret government
four-tape set.
And then if I can give my phone number off the.
All right, fine. I'm going to put you on hold and let the producer pick it up. Okay. God bless. Good night. And right now, let's go to Michelle, who's calling from Cincinnati, and we'll have to take her. Hi, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Fine. Do you have a question?
Well, I was calling and...
Hold that thought for just a minute here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Michelle calling from Cincinnati. Michelle, did you have a question?
I did. I am calling in response to the previous caller who, I'm not going to lie, I'm not a regular listener. I happen to be flipping through. But how in the world can anybody in the world think that 9/11 was a conspiracy by our government?
Well, I would have you ever seen the Building 7 come down?
No.
Well, could I suggest something? Would you do something for me? Do you have a computer?
Yeah.
All right, you get on that computer and you Google in Building 7 video, and you watch the building come down a couple of times. You remember it came down at 5 o'clock in the evening? It wasn't hit by anything?
I remember when it came down.
What?
I do remember it coming down.
All right, fine. And then, Chris, if I could suggest one video, I would get 9/11 Press for the Truth. It's the story of the women who lost their husbands there that day. Or just go to our website. I realize it is very difficult to question what you're told by your government, but remember, they told us that the Gulf of Tonkin incident occurred, and 58,000 American boys went off to fight and die in Vietnam, and the Gulf of Tonkin incident never occurred. Could it possibly be that we might be lied to? Well, I just ask you.
No, I mean I lived in New York City. Were you there that day? Did you experience that day? Did you know people who died that day? To even think that anybody could be out there trying to preach this is unbelievable.
Would you mind just watching Building 7 come down?
I will watch it again. I mean, like I said,
I watched it again. Watch how the center of the building collapses first, and then, of course, the base of the building collapses. And have you ever seen a planned demolition, a controlled demolition?
Yes.
All right, fine. Just watch it come down a couple of times, and then give us a call back, will you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, thanks very much. We're out of time. But God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. All right, well, we're out of time. Mike's on the line from Canada. And Mike, do you have a quick question? Because we're out of time.
Hi. I was wondering if you were aware that MTV is owned by Sumner Redstone, whose real name is Murray Rothstein. And I checked into his history. He was, in his younger years, he was a member of the NSA. He was a part of the predecessor organization to the CIA. It was the precursor. It wasn't the NSA. I'm forgetting what it was. It was the parent organization of the CIA, the forerunner. But he was an Army intelligence officer who specialized in encryption.
No, I wouldn't be tall CIA.
He's CIA all the way. The owner of MTV is CIA all the way. And I just wanted you to comment on that, if you think that ties in at all with the
I have to take your word for it. I don't have any personal knowledge, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Google it. Type in Rothstein.
All right, I will check it out for you, Mike, and thanks very much for calling.
Okay, you're welcome.
Good night and God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we always enjoy our programs here on our open lines. We invite people to come, and we just hope people who've never heard these things before will hear and question it and try to prove us wrong. And for Michelle, I hope she'll get the video on 9/11 Press for the Truth. I think it raises a lot of very interesting questions. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Our writings on this subject would be in our three pamphlet set, Foreknowledge, 911, these are available, of course, for Radio Liberty. And then we offer five videos we challenge people to get and to watch. You can get them separately, or you can get them as part of a 911 video special. And then we have a four-tape set on why did the buildings come down, when you're actually there with people who were in the buildings. And then, of course, we hope that you'll at least consider the possibility that we have not been told the truth about Osama bin Laden, about al-Zawahiri, about so much of what we're being told. Anyway, this is Dr. Stan asking you to pray for Radio Liberty, to pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, pray for America. But understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we'll be back in just a moment with the next hour of Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, right now we have on the line Byron Richards of Wellness Resources, and Byron writes on the health field, but he has been trying to inform people about the legislation that is being forced through Congress that is going to allow the FDA to change its status to almost become a drug company, and to begin then to investigate the claims of alternative treatments of health material, of vitamins and minerals, and to bring them under control, and basically to limit our access to them, because they are taking some of the profits away from the drug companies. And as incredible as it may seem, legislation is moving through the the Senate, the House, that is going to change the status of the FDA completely. Now, the FDA, for those of you who don't know, the Federal Drug Administration, is certainly one of the most corrupt federal agencies there is. I mean, many of these people certainly work for the FDA. They, of course, are working very closely with the drug companies, and then when they leave the FDA, they go to work for the drug companies, and they go to get a golden parachute, and they're settled for, set for life. They have approved drugs that they never should have approved, like Vioxx, that's probably killed somewhere between 60 and 160,000 Americans, at least according to the researchers who looked into this, and that's the basis of the current suits. But there's so many other drugs and studies out there that have been falsified by FDA officials. You probably heard that for women, of course, if you give them hormones, you're not going to cut down the incidence of heart disease, you're going to increase it. And they spent, I think about $700 million on an extensive study on women's health care, and, of course, to find out if hormones really cut down on the incidence of heart disease. They came up with the conclusion in 2002 that actually, instead of helping women, why, of course, the hormones actually increase the incidence of heart disease, and so they started taking women off of hormones. And now, within the last week, they suddenly said, hey, we misinterpreted that $700 million study. And really, of course, at least with the younger women, it actually decreased the incidence of heart disease significantly. Aw, shucks, we just made another mistake. How can you keep making mistakes all the time? Well, I think we're going to have to go to Byron Richards. I think we should be very concerned about the legislation. Byron, tell our listeners what this legislation is, why we should be concerned about it, and what we can do.
Well, the legislation, Dr. Stan, and it's a pleasure to be with you this evening, the legislation is about the renewal of the FDA's drug money that they require from Big Pharma. This is called PDUFA legislation, wherein the Big Pharma and Big Biotech pay the FDA what I call bribe money. It's kind of like the mob, where they're paying for protection. And they then dictate to the FDA how the FDA will use that money. In fact, they had 112 meetings with the FDA here in the last year, Big Pharma and the FDA, to plot a strategy, because they're totally in bed with each other, in terms of how this current legislation would be positioned and what would be in it.
Is there any other government agencies that paid by outside organizations, paid by the organizations they regulate?
No, this is unprecedented in all situations. There is no situation where a government regulatory body is dictated to by the very industry it is supposed to be regulating.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Pick the story up there, please, Byron.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a situation here where both the House and the Senate Now, the Senate version passed a couple months ago, and that was called S-1082. The House version, H.R. 2900, just passed this afternoon, Dr. Stan. And so this was ramrodded through the House without any ability for any of the congressional people to be able to put an amendment into this legislation to correct some of its shortcomings. And that's a big issue for the dietary supplement industry, because within this legislation, a new body has been created which turns the FDA into a quasi-drug company. It's called the Reagan-Udall Foundation for the FDA, and it enables the FDA to patent and license and even control the marketing of the drugs. So basically, the FDA is going into the drug development business in complete partnership with the industry that it's supposed to be regulating. So this takes it to a whole new level. Not only is the FDA getting paid to approve drugs, they're now actually going to do the work, the drug development work, analyzing these new biotech drugs and determining what drugs. I mean, they're basically a drug company, Dr. Stan.
It sounds like they're going to give incest a bad name.
Well, it's just something else, I'll tell you. I mean, we've never seen anything like this. Because what is the FDA going to do when one of the drugs it designed and it approved starts killing and injuring people?
Well, I suppose they'll cover up just like they have with so many other drugs that have been put on the market that were killing and injuring people, and that they are still allowing to be on the market killing and injuring people.
Well, that's right. They will do that. And then what the FDA is also trying to do right now is prevent any citizen in the United States from suing a drug company when a drug that the FDA approves has injured or killed somebody.
Well, then who do we... somebody's got to be responsible. And since we don't have anything comparable to the fund for vaccines hurting people, can we sue the government for authorizing a drug that is harmful to the public? Or is the public just losing all of their rights?
The public is losing all of their rights. If the FDA has its way, it will prevent anybody from suing in state court for any kind of damage when the FDA approves a drug. Now, this is absolutely insane, because when the FDA approves a drug, all it has is some basic information about clinical trials. It's not the same as the drug being out there in the real world, actually, in a performance situation. So even when the FDA approves a drug, it's far from known what all of its side effects are and what its true risks are. Those emerge. But what they're saying is, well, if we put the drug on the market and we have a reasonable assurances that we think it's safe, you're supposed to trust us and give up your rights.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Byron was simply saying that one of the provisions of this new legislation is that it will protect the drug companies from being sued for putting faulty drugs on the market. And so often, before drug is released, the drug company will run trials, and they'll conceal the results of those trials. They're not honest, and we've seen this over and over again when they've flubbed, when they've falsified reporting. But now, of course, once the FDA has authorized the drug, even if it's done with faulty and malicious information fed to it, you will not have a right to sue the drug company. I mean, is there any other field, for instance, if a auto manufacturer intentionally puts out a faulty and defective car, or a tire manufacturer puts out a faulty and defective tire, certainly we have a right to bring suit against them. Why would the drug companies be given special treatment?
Well, because they can't make money if they're being sued. And so what the FDA is trying to do is speed drugs onto the market faster to save the pharmaceutical companies the cost of development of safe drugs and drugs that have been proven to be effective in terms of actual endpoints such as improved life quality, improved longevity, these sort of things. And instead, the FDA is corrupting the clinical trials that we currently have, and they're watering them down so that they can get on a drug on the market with just some improvement in a symptom or what they call a biomarker, where they're measuring something like the blood sugar level. So with this recent Avandia scandal, where that drug was approved based on its ability to lower blood sugar, they never asked or evaluated properly at what cost was the blood sugar being lowered? Well, it turns out, of course, that there's over a 40% increased risk for a heart attack from this drug. And now, years later, the FDA has been sitting on this information for a number of years, and it took private researchers to expose it. The FDA just sat on the data. So the FDA, the problem here in our society is that the FDA intentionally works with big pharma. And what these new legislation that's now going to become a law, Dr. Stan, is S-1082 and H.R. 2900, there's absolutely no stopping this. There's nothing anybody can do about it now. Today was the last chance, and there was not enough public opposition to get this thing to be stopped. Big Pharma has bought it, and they've bought Congress. They control the FDA. They've bought the FDA. So we are now at the mercy of Big Pharma being manipulating the FDA. That's what our healthcare system has just become.
Well, now, of course, I suppose this will go into a Senate and House committee, and it'll certainly be more rubber stamped out of the committees, and then it'll go to the president. And well, what about the president? Is there any way we can get the president?
Well, the president's all in favor of anything that will help Big Pharma profits. His family is heavily financed by Big Pharma. His father is part of what's a group called Sea Change, which stands for Cancer Change. And his father and Andrew von Eschenbach, who's the head of the FDA, are very good friends, and they work all with the same industry people, and all this money, we don't even know where it's all going or to whom, but we know that the Bush family has been significantly enriched by the pharmaceutical industry and currently is, and so, of course, all this money goes into the Bush family.
Well, of course, I would suppose that one thing we could do is encourage people not to use most of these drugs. I read about a drug that you recently released for cancer of the liver. Costs $4,300 a month, and it, on average, it increased the longevity of the patient with cancer of the liver 3 months.
Well, you're right on the money there. I mean, people should really work on reducing the amount of prescriptions they're taking. We do have a society that's extremely over-medicated, Dr. Stan. I mean, I've been in the clinical nutrition business for over 20 years, and I've help people get off these medications, and people have so many options. I mean, that's why I get so burned up about this, is because the legitimate science. I mean, you look at this, what's just happened here. Part of this legislation, both the House and the Senate said they could not stop direct-to-consumer advertising because it would violate the First Amendment rights of the drug companies. Yet the FDA continuously prevents the American public from understanding the science, the legitimate science behind how dietary supplements can prevent and treat disease without any side effects.
But they're not allowed to say you're treating disease. You can only say that it's helpful, but you can't say you're going to cure anybody with any of these things, because that becomes illegal.
Well, that's right. And so, like myself, my dietary supplement company, which is called Wellness Resources, when I'm talking about a nutritional product, I frame the communication, the context of how it helps a person stay healthy, which is fine because it does do this, but there's also a tremendous body of science showing how those very same nutrients can prevent disease, and even individuals with serious medical problems can enhance their odds of a more successful outcome and treatment if they were to incorporate some of these natural options into the strategies they're employing based on solid science. And the downside of these approaches is so minimal. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, these are natural substances that work in harmony with the body. It's just that the medical profession doesn't understand it, by and large. And the pharmaceutical companies, of course, this is real competition to them, because with that kind of competition, when somebody gets well, they don't need treatment anymore, and that's, of course, a big loss of income for the drug companies. They don't intend to get anybody well.
Well, you know, it seems so absurd to suggest that the pharmaceutical companies are motivated by profit rather than trying to help. And certainly I think the doctors as a whole are really want to help people. But, for instance, they put them on statin drugs. I mean, you go to the doctor, he's going to do a cholesterol on you. He's going to tell you your cholesterol is 220 and you've got to get on the statin drugs and get it down to 120. below 200, below 170. And yet, there is no evidence this is going to do any good at all if you've never had a heart attack or stroke. And there's all sorts of evidence it's going to be harmful. And since they don't ordinarily put the people on coenzyme Q10, then they get all the symptoms of coenzyme Q10 deficiency, because the statin drugs depress coenzyme Q10. And then you've got all sorts of new symptoms and new medical conditions that you can treat simply because you put them on statin drugs unnecessarily. And half of the people who die of heart attacks have normal cholesterols.
Well, that's right. And I think, you know, medicine is fundamentally flawed in a lot of ways in which they try to work with people, especially in a preventive mode. One of the basic fundamentals of nutritional science is that anything that helps in the natural production of energy is good. And then we have a whole variety of different types of medications, such as the statin drugs, which are inherently anti-energy. So, I mean, a statin drug in any person makes that person a percentage less energy efficient because it's knocking out the core energy production system to a greater or lesser degree. Well, when they raise the dose of these medications to such a high level to create these abnormal low levels of low cholesterol, where you have LDL less than 130 or less than 90, even, I mean, you know, they just keep lowering these numbers. Well, those recommendations are based on scientists who are on the payroll of Big Pharma. And so, you know, then they give these public health recommendations, and they're all in cahoots with one another, and it doesn't have anything to do with the restoration of energy or natural health or even a person feeling good.
No, because I think that people have to understand that cholesterol is important to produce hormones. Your sterols are cholesterol-dependent, and, of course, whether it be estrogen or testosterone, you lower, of course, the cholesterol level, you lower the production of hormones. And, of course, then, of course, your brain is primarily made up in large part of fatty tissue. And a lot of these people will get dementia as a direct result of getting the cholesterol too low.
Well, that's absolutely right. And yet we see promoted that statin medications are supposed to help Alzheimer's, which is a joke, because it's true, Dr. Stan. The brain cell itself, the brain cell membranes, have more cholesterol in them naturally because brain cells don't split and divide like every other cell in the body. So they have to have more cholesterol so they can survive longer. Well, these drugs lower the normal level of cholesterol in brain cells over time. So a person could start out on these drugs, not notice that they're losing their memory or developing neurologic problems, and within 3 or 4 years start to develop serious neurologic or cognitive decline. And, of course, then the doctor just scratches his head and goes, well, you're just getting older. When in fact they are being poisoned by these statin drugs.
And the doctor really doesn't understand that this, if you have the large studies, there have been very extensive studies on these, and if you analyze them, and you've never had a heart attack or you never had a stroke, and you compare the people who are on the statin drugs and those who are not on the statin drugs, why, really, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them. And those on the statin drugs actually have an increased incidence of cancer.
Well, that's right. And, you know, one very interesting study was done where they took exercising men, and one group they gave the statin drugs to, and the other group took no statin drugs, and they did 3 aerobic exercise sessions, joint jogging per week. And after a 3-year period, the group that exercised with no statin drugs had reduced thickening of their carotid artery, and the group with the statin drugs had no improvement at all. So, you know, I mean, and of course, a study like that doesn't get put around the mainstream media because it's so conclusive of the fact that natural health is based on being physically fit, not by having some drug wreaking havoc with your metabolism.
Well, because the thing is that we're talking about billions of dollars of profit.
Billions, well, there's no question. And so what has happened here, Dr. Stan, with this H.R. 2900, which passed today, and S-1082, which is the Senate companion bill, this now goes to a conference committee where it'll be rubber stamped, and then it will go on to the president for signature. And the FDA has indeed been turned into a drug company with broad new powers to harass natural and alternative health, which is what the FDA has done and intentionally done this sort of behavior actually for the past 100 years. The FDA is little more than a tyrannical organization.
Hold that thought. All right, go ahead, Byron.
The FDA is little more than a tyrannical organization that abuses the power that it has been given by the elected officials. They've transferred the government power to unelected bureaucrats in the FDA who truly feel they are above the law, and as they operate in this capacity, they are in a revolving door with Big Pharma. The executives from the FDA, the management, is frequently, when they're done there, they go work in Big Pharma, and then Big Pharma people come back into the FDA, and it's just one big con job, Dr. Stan. And with this new legislation that passes today, the FDA, through the Reagan-Udall Foundation, which is part of this legislation, has the ability to apply drug-related risk-benefit analysis to dietary supplements, and using its own opinion can remove anything from the market that it wants to. This is unprecedented new regulatory power that has been gifted to the FDA, and the Senate and the House didn't even debate this issue. They just had it in this huge package of FDA fake reform.
Well, of course, was there any organized effort to defeat it? I know that you've been out in the front line trumpeting and trying to get people aware of what was going on, but it seems that so many of our other health organizations just sort of stood by with their hands in their pockets and let it happen.
Well, when we were working on it in the Senate, Dr. Stan, we had we got so much grassroots momentum going that we forced Senator Hatch and Harkin and Kennedy and Enzi to issue a statement about it, but they refused to change the wording in the bill. And so that actually offered us no protection at all. And, of course, Orrin Hatch, who pretends to be a friend of the dietary supplement industry, is actually getting much more money from Big Pharma, and he's a major Big Pharma advocate now on Capitol Hill. And so he certainly is no friend of the dietary supplement industry anymore, even though the main organizations like Natural Product Organization or Association and the Council for Responsible Nutrition, these are the main trade groups that supposedly represent the interests of the dietary supplement industry, they're going along with this because they want an elimination of a lot of the companies that are competition for them. In other words, we've got the dietary supplement industry where the big players in the industry want to eliminate their own competition, so they're more than happy to have this kind of legislation passed. It is a sad and sick day as far as health options go.
Well, you know, I think the thing is that so often the large companies would use government to destroy competition. I believe in competition. I believe competition is the very essence of progress, and when, of course, you see big companies going to government and then using the power of government to destroy your competition, that's how you end up, as we do with the oil companies, where you got about five major oil companies that dominate the world.
Well,
and they didn't do it on their own. They did it because of the government, using government to destroy their competition. Sounds like they're going to do the same thing with the drug industry.
Well, they are, and what they're doing here is that the drug industry itself, of course, is either participating directly in the dietary supplement industry, like Bayer, and who makes one a day, and Weiss that makes Centrum, or we have pharmaceutical companies buying up larger dietary supplement companies. And so both the Natural Product Association and the CRN...
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Byron Richards. And his remark was that the big problem was when this legislation, which was going to, of course, convert the FDA into a drug manufacturing and research company, and, of course, give it the ability to regulate health products, dietary supplements, and dietary products. And when this legislation was going through, some of the largest organizations representing the health industry, health of food and nutrition industry, were backing it because they felt that this was going to allow them to use the power of government to do away with the small companies and the competition. Would you consider yourself a small company then?
Oh, yes, absolutely. By definition, the FDA considers a company with less than 20 employees to be a small dietary supplement company. Any company They call that very small, actually, and so I fall into that category. And any company with less than 500 employees is a small company. And, of course, the FDA, parallel to this new legislation, also just released some new good manufacturing practice guidelines, which are absolutely atrocious. Instead of testing the final quality of product to make sure it's potent and pure, the FDA has decided as a government bureaucracy to regulate every phase of production of a dietary supplement, which is a complete burdensome paperwork mess that will run, the FDA even admits, it will run a lot of the small dietary supplement companies out of business because nobody will be able to pay for all of the costs involved with it.
And, of course, this is what's wrong with central planning. This is why communism didn't work in Russia, why communism doesn't work in China, why they had to get away from a lot of this regulation to make their system work at all. And certainly there is a place for regulation, but it should never be at the federal level. And at the federal level, it will always be mishandled and misused. So what's the next step, Byron? What can be done at this time?
Stock up on your vitamins. I mean, this is really a serious problem, Dr. Stan. I've been trying to tell people about it for over a year, and I'll tell you something, the general public is numb to it, and they probably won't do a thing about it or even think to do a thing about it until Codex has been implemented in this country, which is about 4 or 5 years away. The FDA is actively promoting that. The FDA plans now to use advanced technology to characterize components of dietary supplements as toxic and thus remove them from the market using drug-related risk-benefit analysis, basically treating nutrients, which are foods, as if they are drugs, which is completely against what they're supposed to be doing, but they've just decided this is how they're going to regulate the market, and nobody can stop them right now. We're sliding down a very slippery slope, Dr. Stan. I wish I had some positive action steps people can take, but we were supposed to be trying to defeat this legislation, and there was not enough support out there to actually do it. So we're in trouble. The access to dietary supplements will be corroded intentionally by the FDA. Anything that competes with a blockbuster drug will be on the hit list, and they'll whittle away at various aspects of the industry. First of all, just trying to get rid of all the small companies, and then they'll start going after some of the bigger ones.
Well, I think, of course, what we have to do is simply get the American people to understand the truth. First of all, they're going to have to be responsible for their own health. Secondly, they're going to have to, realize that we need these supplements because many times they can be extremely helpful. And third, until the American people really care, nothing is going to change.
Well, that's right, and I don't know when the American people are going to wake up because they seem to be in somewhat of a comatose condition, and they're certainly over-medicated and partly brain-dead from all of the brain drugs they're taking. And so we do have a problem here just getting enough people to understand what's actually at stake and why these options are so important. I think what I'll do personally, Dr. Stan, is keep writing on the value of the natural health options and why they're so important so that people can understand how to use them. Anybody that goes to my website at wellnessresources.com can see that I have a tremendous amount of information on that website about how these things work and how you can use them to support your health. But I'm just going to stick with the positive message and get out there and promote even more on the value of how natural health options are so essential to part of a person's health maintenance plan that they would adopt for themselves to stay healthy and really truly to hopefully stem off some of these age-associated diseases that are ruining our society, such as diabetes and Alzheimer's and early onset of heart disease. I mean, these things are entirely preventable, Dr. Stan.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, if you have a question for Byron, if you have a comment. Our health is under attack today. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course Byron has been doing a great job of putting out missiles and letters, and the thing is that we don't have enough people, you know, who have enough time to work full-time to try to prevent this legislation from getting through. The other side has literally billions of dollars at their disposal, and they can buy and sell politicians. Certainly, the majority of the people in this country want health freedom. But if they don't know there's a problem, they're not going to be able to do anything about it. If we can mount a movement such as we saw with the effort to prevent amnesty, why, of course, the senators responded to pressure from the people on this issue. I guess there just wasn't enough. People really concerned to get the attention of the senators, and most of them probably think this sounds like a pretty good idea. After all, it's going to encourage competition, and, well, I don't know what was the...
Dr. Stan, it was packaged as drug safety legislation, and so much of what went on in this legislation was buried in it, and the public wasn't even aware of it. And, of course, it's a favorite trick of the Congress, when they're trying to sneak something through, is to put it through in the summer when everybody's on vacation. Because they know right there that most people won't be at their computers very much, they won't be listening to the radio as often, they won't be, you know, really on the pulse of what's going on with some of these issues. So right away, you lose a whole lot of people that would otherwise be interested in helping out with such a cause. In fact, just a couple months ago when we were fighting S-1082, the Senate version of this, we had several hundred thousand people flood the Senate. Well, that didn't happen this time because the House snuck the bill through and didn't even allow amendments to be offered. We had been working with Ron Paul's office, Congressman Ron Paul from, Republican from Texas, who's also a presidential candidate. He was fully on board and was prepared to offer amendments to protect the dietary supplement industry from the flaws in this legislation. We had prepared those amendments. He was in agreement. He was going to use them. And then at the last minute, the House said, well, we're going to put this bill on the suspension calendar, which means that there would be no ability for anybody to offer amendments. And as long as there was a two-thirds majority vote, then those in the minority would be overruled. And that's exactly what happened. Ron Paul was not able to bring these amendments up because basically the bill was ramrodded down the throats of Americans.
Well, I'm sure there must be a very, very important piece of legislation for them to go to that length. We'll be right back with Byron here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Byron Richards. And Byron, let's get your website out. Let's get your telephone number out so people will know how to get you and to get your excellent book, which we've always meant to carry and never have. But I've read it, and it's excellent. So how can people get in touch with you?
Well, Dr. Stan, my company's name is Wellness Resources, and our website is wellnessresources.com. Our 800 number is 800-717-WELL. That's 800-717-9355. So people can give us a call. We'd be happy to send out information to them, and certainly they can check out our website, which is loaded with information. We are truly specialists in helping people fix their health problems and have been for a number of years. So that's one way to get a hold of us. And as you mentioned, I have actually a number of books. One of them I think you're referring to, which is Fight for Your Health, Exposing the FDA's Betrayal of America. That's available on our website or at Amazon.com. I also write extensively on health issues, especially on the subject of weight and thyroid. My popular books in this are called Mastering Leptin and The Leptin Diet.
All right, fine. Well, let's go, of course, to Jeff, who's calling from Las Vegas. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Really good. How are you?
Fine. How's the weather over there?
We had a cold front today. It only hit 105.
All right. Well, I'm sure glad it's staying cool for you.
Thank you.
You have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do. I wanted to ask your guest, I have not verified this, but I heard that over in Europe, where this type of legislation is a standard practice, some woman got sentenced to 5 years of either probation or jail time or something for having too much vitamin C in her car.
You know, I haven't heard that particular story, Jeff. I don't doubt that it's happening. I know in France you can't even grow certain things in your garden. It's getting so bad. And, you know, what's happening in Europe is what is just a precursor to what's going to be happening here. They're about 3 to 5 years ahead of us.
Right. Now, I mean, it's over there, they're easier to control there. I mean, is there any outrage over there? Have you followed
this? Well, there's
this
plenty of outrage in the people that use alternative methods and rely on dietary supplements and herbs as part of their health plan because through Codex and related regulations, they, at the end of 2009, are going to force this absolute draconian system onto all the people of Europe. And,
the thing is, though, here we're covering a whole continent. There, it's like a couple hours from one end to the other of the country. So here, it's going to be a little bit tougher for them to implement that. So,
because the FDA is working hand in glove with the German contingency and to implement what they call safe upper limits for dietary supplements, which is a politically polite way of saying we're going to brand everything above a certain dose as toxic and take it off the market, which is
Tell me if I'm wrong on this assumption. My guess is that they're going to need the media to get this thing through, of course, illegally, and nobody knows what the heck's going on.
Well, they already have the media. I mean, the media is Big Pharma owns the media. They pay the media more money than anybody else.
Correct.
Well,
yeah,
hasn't said a word about what's going on.
Right, but what they're going to do, what they're going to do is the same method that they're going to use to attempt to chip everybody, and that is bring the children into it. Johnny over here OD'd on vitamin C, right? So, boy, there's got to be a public outrage.
Well, they are actively paying for on-the-take scientists, quote-unquote, to concoct studies that make vitamins look bad. This is going on. There's a number of places here in the United States, but especially over in Europe, you get into some of these Scandinavian countries, and they are at the forefront of publishing absolute rubbish and scandalous trash, trying to badmouth dietary supplements. And this is all part of a concerted campaign, an international campaign that Big Pharma is sponsoring to eliminate its competition.
See, like most things in life, I see the conspiracy part. I just don't see the theory part.
Well, I think that, Jeff, the important thing is you've got to help us get the truth out and get people to begin questioning what they've been told through the media. Get people to understand the media is controlled, and then, of course, to help people to know where they can get reliable information, whether it be Byron's material or some of the other people that we have on our programs. They all verify with solid scientific studies, many with extensive scientific studies, the value of nutritional supplements. And once we can get people to understand that there is a conspiracy to actually harm their health and the health of their children and the health of their grandchildren, at that point we're going to rally a lot more people to our side. And believe me, the number of people who are aware there's a problem, I believe, is growing. We just have to have responsible people. I mean, there's some really quacky people out there making a lot of claims, that you take my pill, my $3 pill, and it's going to make your life better and your sex life better and everything about you is going to be better. And these are hucksters. But if you stick with the solid science, we can convince people that dietary supplements are essential for their health in today's world. So don't get discouraged. Your job is to get educated and then to help us use responsible information to reach people.
Well, you guys are doing an absolute great job as usual. My fear is that, of course, your information already would have probably hit some type of critical mass, but you keep flooding the country. That's why you got to have open borders, see? Keep flooding the country with totally uneducated, desperate people, and it'll never hit critical mass.
Oh, if we just keep plugging along, that's our job, and hopefully one day our efforts will be rewarded. Thanks so much for calling.
You're the best. You know that.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling. But before we get to Ray and his interview, I do want to announce our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, you know, one of the things that really bothers me, Byron, is the fact that, you know, I understand that literally all of the vitamin C that is used in the United States is manufactured in China. Is that really true?
Well, I don't know that it's really true. I mean, there's, you know, Hoffmann La Roche makes a lot of the vitamin C. There's a lot of vitamin C made in Europe. And so it is an issue where vitamin companies are going to have to really take into account where they buy their supplements. I've gone out of my way as a purchaser of raw material ingredients for putting in dietary supplements to not buy anything from China because I just don't trust the Chinese production standards whatsoever. And so I prevent myself from their lower prices. You know, it's kind of a funny thing because the high quality raw material suppliers in Europe and Japan and in the United States had for a long time no real competition. But when China went into the dietary supplement industry, even though their quality was dubious, they were flooding the market with these cheap versions of things, and it forced the high quality companies to keep their prices down. So it's kind of a interesting scenario here. But yeah, the consumers, they don't know if you're getting something from China or where you're getting it from these days. And so unless a company, and of course anything you get from China is going to be cheaper, it's just what they're doing. So.
Okay, well let's go to Ray from Santa Cruz. Hey Ray, did you have a question coming?
Yeah, I did. Now last night I was watching TV and the AMA came out with a report saying that tomato juice would not prevent cancer of any kind, but I know for a fact that lycopene helps prevent prostate cancer.
Yeah, well, what you're seeing here is a disinformation campaign.
See, it's, yeah, they're supporting the big drug companies, right?
Yes, and they're trying to make it, you know, they're getting so absurd now they don't even want people eating fresh produce.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's illegal to eat cherries. The FDA threatened to confiscate the cherry crops across the country as unapproved new drugs because, you know, the cherry companies were promoting that the cherries can reduce inflammation quite effectively, which they do. Mm-hmm. They don't want people eating food anymore. They only want people taking Vioxx that will kill them.
Yeah, right. I note the fact that on the television, you know, I watch it very little, but I know that they keep promoting this stuff like Viagra and Levitra and all that. And what does it do? It probably helps kill you.
The one question I have, Ray, is why do we have so many men today who have erectile dysfunction?
Right.
You never saw this in the past. And if you study what's happened, they have actually, because of the poisoning of the male and men, you can find this as a direct result of aspartame and certainly the mercury that they put in our products and the fluoride they put in our products,
mm-hmm.
It knocks down the testosterone level.
Testosterone.
And I'm sure there are many other things that do as well. And on one hand, they're creating a problem, but then we always have the Viagra. We can always get you on Viagra.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're going to cure the problem that we've created.
Mm-hmm.
Half the men in America have low testosterone levels, and the question is why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think one of the real big factors is the environmental poisoning going on with especially the estrogen look-alike chemicals, which are the mostly the organophosphate class that's been used on our food supply.
Right.
And these chemicals, while in some cases may not cause cancer, in some cases they certainly do, in every case they compete for hormone receptor sites in the human body. And because they do this, especially in the developing fetus, a lot of these things can cross the blood-brain barrier and interact with the developing brain circuitry in men as well as women. But in men, you can end up with excessively feminized traits as a result of this. And it's quite an issue that nobody really likes to talk about very much. But low testosterone and feminization of men as a result of the contamination of our food supply is a travesty that the FDA has allowed.
And do you know anything? Will DDT do the same thing? It actually acts through entirely different mechanisms, doesn't it?
Yeah, DDT is somewhat different, very toxic, and of course we still also have the PCB contamination where these dioxins that are produced as PCBs degrade are a huge problem for cognitive function. And it's been now shown that exposure to these things is, produces higher rates of attention deficit learning disorders in children and as they get older. And so, I mean, we have a huge problem with the poisoning that we're coming up against. It's kind of like genetic survival of the fittest. And this, of course, is one of the areas where dietary supplements can help so much because there are so many terrific nutrients that can protect a person from the poisoning in the environment.
Okay, anything else, Ray, before we let you go?
Well, don't you think maybe the dietary supplement industry should have a larger lobby?
No, they do, and because they were all on the wrong side on this one, right?
Yeah. Well, see, here's what's happening. The dietary supplement industry's lobby has now become owned by Big Pharma.
Oh, okay.
We have a nullification of the forces in general, and so we have, you know, a lot of network marketing companies out there who are part of CRN. This would include companies like Shackley and Anatech. And these companies are just doing nothing but jockeying for position in the New World Order. And actually, even though they have a lot of good distributors who are, you know, obviously good Americans and so on, the executives in these companies are selling out America. It is pathetic.
It's sickening. But all across the board, everything. The AMA, I'm sure the AMA is really not much different, you know, than the FDA and
the AMA
mindset.
Works with the FDA, and of course the AMA works more at the state level to force licensure requirements, and you know, most doctors live in fear of, you know, the licensing boards of the AMA. And of course we can't forget in this whole picture that states, the retirement funds of many states, especially big states like California and New York, are heavily invested in pharmaceutical company stocks. And if these states adopt policies that don't eliminate the competition or prop up in some way the ability for pharmaceutical companies to sell in those states, the retirement fund of the entire state is going to take a huge hit. And so we, you know, I mean, it's not just, I mean, we're corrupted at the state level. We're corrupted at the federal level. There isn't any level of government that isn't, that Big Pharma doesn't control in some way, shape, or form. It's just a sign of how the people with the money, once they get the money, can stay in power by buying everything.
Yeah. You know, a couple years ago, actually it was a little bit more than a couple years ago, Hillary Clinton decided that we should have this universal health care plan for every American, right? So here we have now, she's completely owned by Big Pharma.
Well, we have lots of problems, Ray. We sure do. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
Let's go to Joe calling us from Michigan. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Well, just as you said, you know, they've sold out. We sold out at the, you know, the local, the state, and the federal levels. And in many ways, we're reaping what we have sown. And it just appears that America is getting what they deserve. I mean, everybody's selling out to money in many ways. You know, the Declaration of Independence says that we have the right to abolish government, and I mean that's something when it's gotten out of hand, and it's something that I believe has happened a long time ago. It's gotten out of hand a long time ago, and we really have to abolish government. I really do not believe that there's any way we're going to put any band-aids on any of this. I mean, we have to make a move.
I think what we have to do is get moral people in our society, and if you don't have moral people in your society, why you're going to have immorality? And if we have moral people who are willing to stand for righteousness, why, we'll have a good society. And when you turn your back on right and wrong, when you take God out of the schools, when you allow evil people to get into the judicial system to alter the structure of our society, as happened, you know, during the Vietnam War, when we had members of a secret society take over our Supreme Court, and for 30 years they controlled that court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. and they took God and prayer out of our schools, and then we wonder why a generation later, why we have a godless society, now rapidly moving to a pagan society. The only way we're going to turn it around, Joe, is one person at a time, starting first of all with you and me.
I know, but frankly, you know, in America it says it works. 90% of the people claim to be Christians. I realize that that's not completely true, but it's that handful, it's the oligarchy on top, Satan's servants who are promoting their agenda throughout a country that chiefly says that they're Christian.
Now, they can say they're Christian, but what Christ do they worship? And you know, judge people not by what they say, but by the fruits of what they do. And look at the end result of where we are today.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, one thing I talk about in Fight for Your Health, exposing the FDA's betrayal of America, is the history on this and how the Rockefellers and company have put into our school system the subject of humanism, which essentially focuses individuals on pleasure as the self-attained highest purpose in the world.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Joe, do you have anything else to say before we let you go?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention one other thing. Should I do that now?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the question comes to my heart and mind. Guys like Dr. James Kennedy, the people at the Alliance Defense Fund, James Dobson, you, Dr. Stan, maybe even Michael Savage, and many others. I mean, these are the leaders, you know. These are the leaders. These are the type of, they're almost like Paul Revere's who are going to bring forth change. And the question that looms in my heart is, why don't they come together?
Well, I will tell you, because most of our ministries have been infiltrated. And I will tell you that I know several of those that you've mentioned where they have been infiltrated, and the very good people at the top have been neutralized by people adjacent to them. It's a very, very clever technique. I've seen this happen with many of my friends' ministries doing similar things that I am, and they planted people in there to neutralize them, and they've been very effective. We're dealing with people who are very, very evil, and they really are. And you will never hear, for instance, a lot of the things that most of our Christian ministries that we talk about secret societies, they refuse to allow that to be mentioned there. They refuse to get it at all into the true spiritual aspect of this battle. There really is another dimension. There really are demonic forces. There really is, of course, an organized effort to destroy the integrity and the morality of our country. And they're just not talking about it. This is why I do what I do, and we're a small voice, but there are other people doing the same thing. Hopefully, one day all these small voices will join together into a great chorus. In the meantime, we will do what we can as long as God gives us a voice.
Yeah. All right, well, that's what was on my heart.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling, Joe. And Byron, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you on, and I hope you'll be with us, willing to come on to our other programs. As you know, we have four different audiences every week, and we always look forward to having you with us because you always have so much important information to share.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's been a pleasure being with you tonight, and thank the listeners for tuning in. We are at a pivotal point in society. What's happening here with the FDA is a major transformation. As big a difference or biggest change, Dr. Stan, is the creation of the FDA in the first place. And it's not a good change. And so consumers and the public need to be aware of what's going on.
Let's get your webpage out one more time.
It's wellnessresources.com, and the phone number is 800-717-WELL.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, Byron Richards. Again, his number 1-800-717-WELL or 9355. Byron, thanks very much for being with us. Good night. God bless.
Take care.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. And certainly, we hope that if you want to get a book talking about the drug companies, we carry it. It's called The Truth About the Drug Companies, written by Dr. Marcia Angel, who is the editor of the most prestigious medical journal in America, the New England Journal of Medicine, on the staff at Harvard. The Truth About the Drug Companies, we still carry the book. You need to read it, you need to be horrified by what Marcia said. And, of course, she came under so much pressure because she told the truth, they simply threatened to ruin her career. This is what you're up against. And, of course, let me simply suggest if we carry a couple of books on medicine, medical things. I'll carry Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And then Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We have a book on statin drugs, just a little short book, but it's very, very accurate. We have a 4-tape set on statin drugs. You need to understand they're poisoning our people. We have, of course, a material on the vaccines and the mercury they're putting in the vaccines into children's vaccines. Oh, they tell us we've taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines. They've just put it into the vaccines that they give to children. Now, fortunately, or hopefully, they're not doing that in California, but every other state in the union they are. And you need to get our video by Dr. Ayoub. It's called Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Agenda. Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Agenda. And Dr. Ayoub simply asked the question, why is it that the people are putting up hundreds of millions of dollars for vaccination in third world countries, and they're pushing population control? Why would you want to vaccinate the little brown and little black children, you know, and save their lives when you really want to get rid of them because there are too many children in the world? And then, of course, you listen to his talk, and you'll understand why. If you get this video, and I will promise you it is a devastating video, why you'll get free of charge a CD-ROM with thousands of pages of documentation on it. You need to have that information. You need to get my talk on Nundare College Genocide. It's a video. Hopefully it's on DVD very soon. And then, of course, if you want the more extensive discussion, it's called Planned Population Reduction. Planned Population Reduction, about 2 hours and 20 minutes of me talking, if you can stand that. But, of course, it's a lot of other things there. We've got a lot of documentation. We have, of course, a DVD and a 4-tape set, or I should say a video and 4-tape set on population control. We take you into the Georgia Guidestones. And, of course, the secret message there that comes from the dark side about a plan to kill off most of the world's population. There's the 4-tape set on population control. There's my monograph on population control. There's our 4-tape set, Why Do We Still Have Cancer? One of my favorite 4-tape sets is The New Order of the Barbarians. The New Order of the Barbarians. It's the only one we have the transcript with. It was done interviews by Randy Engel, and of course, that's why we... it's a little bit more than the rest of our 4-tape sets. We have to give her a royalty, but she did a great job interviewing Dr. Dunnigan, who back in 1969 heard Dr. Richard Day, the former director of medical care for Planned Parenthood, lay out the story of their plan to create new diseases, to limit the population, to suppress treatments for cancer. If any of you would like a copy of the Fitzgerald Report, which has been suppressed for 54 years, about the treatments for cancer that have been suppressed, call us 1-800-544-8927.